Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, here we go. It's the 1973 podcast. It's your boys. So let's get right to it. We usually start with the email, but that's done, son. And now we're on to a better thing in my mind, movie reviews. Something that I've been trying to work in for a while, and I think it's going to work out great. Everybody, like-minded individuals, and it seems to that we've pretty much been on point for the first week. We didn't count the Halloween week, so last week we did old school. This week the professor came in with his pick, but before we get into it, Ed, take us into the movie review.
Absolutely. All right. Hey there, podcast fans. Are you ready to show off your love for the 1973 podcast? You've got over 20 different designs of t-shirts and hoodies that capture the essence of classic stuff. Whether you're a fan of the show or just love the re that retro fuel, we got something for everyone. From bold prints to subtle nods to your favorite personalities, each piece is made with a top-notch quality and timeless style you create. Perfect for lounging at home, which I did today. We're making a statement out and about. And don't wait. Our collection is flying off the shelves faster than you can say, don't be cheap, buy a shirt. Visit us now at bonfire.com and grab your favorite boat before they're gone. And then the 1973 t-shirt store on YouTube, just click the link below.
Stop being cheap.
Buy a shirt.
So this week, I'm gonna let the professor talk about the movie that he picked, Ocean's 11. Take it away, Tom.
All right, this week's I chose Ocean's 11, the remake. I believe it was released in 2001, somewhere around there. Great cast: George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, Bernie Mac, Elliot Gould. I mean, it was Andy Garcia, Julia Roberts. There's a ton of people in it, but I thought the plot was great. It was George Clooney's character wants to rob three banks the same night. I think it was the Bellagio, the Mirage, and I can't remember the other one. And Andy Garcia happens to own all three of them, and it's a really good storyline. I thought it was a really good. The cast was great, and reading into it, I didn't realize that first of all, Don Cheadle's role, which I actually thought he stole every scene he was in. I'm a huge Don Cheadle fan, and doing the British accent, he just killed me with that. But he. His role was uncredited in the. If you watch the movie, he's not listed in the end credits at all. And another big name actress was in it, and she was uncredited with Viola Davis. She was one of the parole board members, so I didn't realize that. And then I read that they all took pay cuts so they could make. They wanted to make a movie together. They all took pay cuts to do the movie. So I thought that was pretty cool. And you could see they all liked each other. It looked like they were all having a blast. And but that's my choice. I thought it was a really great movie. And my rating, I'm giving it an 8.5.
8.5, Tom, take the totals for us.
Yep.
8.5 from the professor. I'm going to kick it to Shaggy. Shaggy, what do you got?
Yeah, it's definitely one of those movies you can watch over and over again, like when it's on TNT or whatever it's like that. Great cast, great storyline. I wouldn't grade it that high. It was great, but I wouldn't go that high. I'm probably gonna say like 7-8.
7-8 from the Shagster. Ed, Ocean's 11.
I thought it was a pretty good movie when it originally came out back in 2001. I think that the budget was only about 87 million, I think, and I think it grossed over nine figures, I think. And that you could kind of see, just doing a little bit of research on it, you could kind of see that they try to kind of recapture that Rat Pack kind of feel to it. And then, that kind of tie-in with Vegas. And it was just a very entertaining movie, kind of went along very quick. There weren't really any slow parts of the movie. I thought it was just a good movie, and I agree with both Tom and with Mike. You definitely could watch it over and over again and not really get bored about it because you notice different things each time you watch it. I'm gonna give it like a 7-4 because I grade a little bit hard, because one bite, everybody knows the rules. So,
Ed, we're gonna change it to one watch. Everybody knows the rules.
there we go. It's right there. You got it.
I
One
tagged
watch.
it.
Everybody knows the rules. There you
Oh,
go.
all right.
There we go.
Let's go to the Phantom. I'm curious.
Yeah, no, definitely really, really entertaining, fun movie. Can't beat that, all star cast. I think the thing that made the movie is really like the dialogue between the guys when they're talking. Didn't really even really have so much to do with like say like the storyline. It It's just them having banter between them, which really kind of pushed it along and made it make it more likable. I think my favorite character is going to be Brad Pitt in that. He's by far, I think, he had the best character in it. I think I'm going to go 7.7. I liked it a lot.
All right, so before we get going, Brad scored it. When he scored it, we're spot on. We're going back and forth on just the text between the two of us, and we're talking about how we're on the same page with it, and we were agreeing on everything. So great cast, especially at that time. They took all the big Hollywood actors. What I look for is I went back and watched it, and I want to know if when you go back and watch it now, if it still holds weight. Like, is it dated, or is it still watchable? It's very watchable still. I enjoyed that. I agree with everybody on the panel. It's one of those movies that when it's a remake and it doesn't kind of take away from the original, so it does stand alone like that. Does it have a lot of quotes that you can quote, like movie lines and stuff? No. The story's pretty good. So Brad scored it a 7.3. And then my score for it going forward, 7.1. Not saying I don't like the movie. It's just trying to get a baseline with these movies going forward. So that was a great pick from Tom. I like where everybody has an eclectic, say, movie collection in their house that they're trying to throw something. So speaking of that, it was Brad's pick for next week, and I'm glad everybody's sitting down for this one.
Oh, God.
Star Wars Rogue One for next week. So if you haven't seen it, you're going to watch it.
That thing's on every weekend on TBS.
Okay. So it was probably playing when he picked it. So
it was on a couple days ago, so probably.
Okay. So I put him on a spot. So next week, Star Wars Rogue One takes place right before A New Hope, where they steal the plans for the Death Star, yada, yada, yada. Save for next week. So,
Andy, you know what's funny? When you actually own the movie,
yeah,
but you don't go grab the DVD and throw it in to watch it, you look all over the place to try to find it somewhere where I could stream it.
Isn't it crazy? Stop being lazy. One watch. Everybody knows the rules. What do you got for an overall score for that, Tom?
7.63.
So we're round down, right? So 7.6. All right. So 7.6 for Ocean's 11. What do you think for that overall score? You think that's pretty much...
really strong. I think it's the best of the franchise by far.
Yeah.
I thought the Ocean's 12, I thought was horrible. That was the second one. That was the worst one, I think, out of the bunch.
Well, something tells me if we keep doing this, we'll come back around to 12 eventually. I guarantee it.
I think we're going to have a lot to hit before we hit that.
See, Ocean's 8 was pretty shitty.
Yeah.
I didn't watch that one.
You didn't miss anything.
We're more likely to watch the original, probably. So, so that's a movie review. Pretty good start so far. So, let's move into the world of pro wrestling. It's something that we're going to talk about finishing this documentary, putting it to bed, unless something drastic comes up and they add to it or whatever, which is not out of the realm of possibility. Vince McMahon, episode 6, the final episode. My thoughts on this one was I was a little bit left with different feelings about the whole documentary. It seemed like at the end they tried to give you a bunch of stuff to think about, but they kind of gave you nothing. It just kind of anticlimactic is the right word for me with it. I really like Shane. Like I said before, I think that that Vince McMahon is weird because, well, he is weird, but the father dynamic with him is he's saying how his father never gave him a hug, and Shane was saying how hard it was to get a hug from him. So isn't the problem just correcting the problem and just being the person that you always wanted your father to be. Isn't that kind of the way it should be with that? They threw a lot of stuff at you. The Bruce Pritchard thing where, you know, his wife got cancer and he paid for everything for her, and she's been, they gave her 3 or 4 months and she's been alive for 24 years. So it's just so much stuff. And it's like, you're left kind of with, I don't know, mixed feelings on the whole documentary. It just, it was tough for me to watch that and not come away with just overall negative feelings about the whole documentary. Shay, you want to add to it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like I was watching one of those series, and it's like, at first you're like, oh, okay, it's pretty good, and then as it drags on, you're like, well, I made it this far, I got to finish watching it, and that's how I felt about it. I'm like, all right, like, what's one more episode, I got to finish it, and just, yeah, I was just like, yeah, and stuff about Shane was great. I did like that little clip about Pritchard, you know, getting about his personal life, a little bit about that, but overall, I was like, just get this over with.
Yeah, one thing with, before I ask the other guys, that just popped in my head. I thought it was pretty odd how when they asked a pretty good panel of people what they thought Vince McMahon's legacy was, and nobody could give an answer.
Right, right.
The Undertaker, Trish Stratus, Booker T, who was that? John Cena. It was like they all looked at him like a father, but
yeah.
They had nothing to add to it. No. Is it because they can't say anything good because they know all the dirt? I mean, I think he's probably just like the P.T. Barnum of our generation.
Yep.
Like, he took something that was kind of fringe and made it mainstream. That's probably his legacy. What do you think, Ryan?
I totally agree. I think the only person that really came out and said anything was Tony Atlas, which is just the greatest promoter of all time, and you kind of just leave it at that. I mean, there was quite a few things on there that came off as like a bad timing or whatever you want to call it. The thing with Vince, and they're like, oh, what are you thinking? He's like, oh, I'm always thinking of all different stuff at all time, but right now I'm thinking about sex. Like, just like what ends up happening. It's like, that ain't helping your cause, anybody. That's pretty bad. And Stone Cold too, with the CTE, with the when they kind of got into the Benoit stuff, and he's like, all right, I don't even think there's anything such, no such thing as CTE or something like that. I get when they're like protecting the business, but like, oh, come on, come on, Steve, you're coming off a little real bad here. But no, overall, super disappointed. I mean, you figure this last episode would be the one that they could kind of like fill some gaps a little bit, after they kind of went through the years and got maybe more into Vince, but they covered like, it seemed like 10 years in the last episode. And I think they spent way too much time talking about stuff that didn't really have to do with Vince. It was just more of like I had said before, like a WWE documentary. But overall, it's, I guess there's the real story is going to come later on. So I think they got a little hand tied there, knowing what was going to happen, especially once the word got out and Vince stopped showing up for the thing. So I'm curious if there was supposed to be more episodes than what there actually was, or how, if none of that had come out, that would have ended up being a better documentary, because maybe they could have got a little bit more into his personal background and stuff.
Ed, thoughts to close it out?
I just don't think it was a very good documentary. I mean, we've talked about it. This is the week six, and all we've ever talked about is just like, we wish that they had given us more. I really just think it was really just a fluff piece. And to take, I think it was Ryan's point, and I think Tom's point, and Mike's point, and your point, it just kind of seemed over the last past couple of weeks, it was just all about kind of like teaching, you know, people that weren't old school wrestling fans about kind of like what the WWF turned into the WWE. And, you know, to kind of like have people not have like talk about Vince's legacy. First and foremost, he changed something that was just territories all over the place to actually something that was a worldwide business of, you know, sports entertainment. And that's a pretty big deal. Doesn't mean that he's a great person, because he's far from that. He's actually quite a shitty human being with all the stories that are being held back and everything like that. So, you know, it's just I'm glad that I didn't waste a terrible amount of time watching it.
Yeah, maybe eventually we'll get a Dark Side of the Ring episode that'll kind of add to it or something like that. But Thomas, voice of reason, what do you got?
I just, to piggyback off of what Ryan said about the concussion thing, I just thought Undertaker came off looking a little bad too, because he's talking about not being a big deal, and then 2 minutes later they talk about him having a concussion and wrestling the last 15 minutes of the WrestleMania match versus Lesnar, and he says he doesn't remember anything about it, and they said he had a concussion, and then Vince didn't look good either by saying, oh, he doesn't think it was a concussion, he just thinks it was a traumatic experience that he lost the match, and that's why he doesn't remember. I mean, just didn't look very good. But I just, this whole documentary to me didn't bring, there wasn't anything new. The newer stuff was like talking about, I thought that stuff with Chris Nowinski and Benoit's dad, where Benoit's dad donated his brain, and I mean, who knows whether or not it's actually true or not, with it them saying that it was like one of the worst cases of CTE that they've ever seen. But I just thought it was, I won't say it was a waste of time, because I'll always watch stuff like this, but I expected more from it. They hyped it up so much, I expected a lot more. But I do agree that Shane McMahon came out looking the most sympathetic in this thing. I mean, they were just talking about the match that he had with Vince in the cage, and then even showing where he got in the back and Vince gave him a pat on the back. The whole thing with the Kurt Angle match, which is the thing I remember the most about Shane, where he couldn't break that glass, and he was determined to go through it. But he's crazy. But he came out the most sympathetic in my eyes.
Yeah, the CTE thing is crazy, because you look at like just the chair shots to the head, especially when you go back to like those ECW matches with like Tanaka and Mike Awesome, where they were just waffling each other with, and you look back on it and say, wow, that, I know one of the guys is still alive, but Mike Awesome isn't, and he had all kinds of problems at the end. I think he ended up, you know, committing suicide and all that other stuff. So, you know, it makes you wonder. There's a lot of, I think there's a lot of blood on McMahon's hands, but the way he presents it, like they had a choice, you know. And then the Ashley Machano story, that's kind of creepy. It just seems like those stories all kind of circulate around one guy in the eye of the hurricane, and where he's such a control freak, how he cannot know that, whether it's the Ring Boy scandal or things that are going on, he's got to know that, you know, you just don't let people backstage to visit. So why would you let like Zahorian be around? You know, you're allowing one thing, and then you turn a blind eye to it, saying, well, I never told you to do any of that stuff. But yeah, but it's the way you present it, where, you know, I've seen articles of shoot interviews of people saying, well, they'll walk by and give you like, well, you're not as big as you were last year, you know, like kind of subtle jabs. And like, if you're not doing it and somebody else is doing it, they're going to take your spot and be more popular and make more money. So, I mean, I think that's the perfect definition of a dog eat dog business right there. Even if it is corporate, but I was interested in how there's more to the story with where he resigned and then he came back and then Stephanie left. I found that very odd, and they didn't really do a deep dive into it. And then the one thing that they never gave any closure on was the guy from Wall Street Journal that's been chasing him since the early 80s, since around the snooker scandal.
Yep.
He's been chasing Vince McMahon, trying to pin him to something, and they never even went back to him and gave like an end road of that.
Right.
Was that Phil Mushnick?
Yeah.
So they never even tied that in at the end. They kind of, so like I said, I think I agree with everybody, and not to be long winded, but there was left with a lot of, hey, you gave us this, but you never like finished it. Just at the end, the allegations came up, and that's what ended the story. And then, you know, as they're fading to black, they give you those, you know, little things at the end to kind of like, I don't know, keep you interested or whatever. So hey, just very, I agree with the whole panel, very disappointed, a lot of hype going into it, and they gave the old school wrestling fan and documentary fans, nothing. So speaking of that, there was some kind of tie into this, some news this week. It just came across my feed, and I was like, is that somebody just kind of doing some clickbait or whatever? And then I saw it multiple times after that. Bruce Pritchard and Michael Hayes left abruptly. So Thomas,
they're on leave. They're on leave. They're not actually gone. They're on a personal leave. Yeah. I was just reading it. Michael Hayes is off for personal reasons, and Bruce Pritchard is due to a family emergency.
And that's literally that, that's the only explanation they gave you. They don't go any in depth or anything like that.
Oh, it's just weird how around all these allegations that, you know, stuff like that happens, almost like when Patterson stepped down around the time of the, you know, all that harassment stuff. Just makes you wonder because Richard's been there for a while. The only time that he ever left was he left for a short time and he went and worked in TNA, and then they brought him back. So you never really know what the reasons are or why. I've heard stuff about Michael Hayes being, you know, Rat Fink over the years with every place he's worked, and that's why he's always had a really good gig with places, because he'll stooge on the boys. So I don't know.
They were saying that the thing with Michael P.S. Hayes is that he's been the producer for all this Bloodline stuff going right through all the time. So now that he's gone, I guess Jamie Noble is taking over for it. So I'm kind of curious to see if it changes anything in the way the storyline is going to start headed.
Are they going to bring back Nydia?
They should.
No. No, sir. That I think that's it for the wrestling news this week. And Vince McMahon. Oh, go ahead, Thomas.
Just with the whole Vince McMahon and I can't think of her first name, but the woman that's filed the lawsuits against, what's her name? Janelle Grant.
Grant.
Yeah. Her lawyers are trying to go to court, and they want to get all of the non-disclosure agreements that people have signed waived. And they're trying to say that, like, I don't know if they're how they're trying to say, saying they've run out. I don't know if there's actually a time thing with these things, but they're going to court anyway to try to get some of these people so that they can testify in the case.
Yeah, at the end of the documentary, it had a little blurt that it said that the case was on hold because it was a federal case. So yeah. her initial case as a one-on-one is on hold, I guess. But I guess it's going to all be lumped into one big thing. We'll see.
The thing that's crazy about the whole thing is that they were saying that, like, Vince paid her off too. But then he didn't come through with giving her all the money. Like, he shortchanged her $1 million, and that's what... It's like all the money that this guy spent over the years, and you're paying something to go away, and you don't come through with the dough, and it's like now you're ruined for that $1 million when you got billions.
Right. So, you know, that's a fun fact about him. When he was buying out the territories, he especially the Los Angeles area and Calgary, when he was negotiating and they came up on the price, he never finished paying either one of the two. The LaBelles or the Hots, believe it or not. He sniffed stew on the territory for the money. Like, say it was like three installments, 3 years in a row of like $3 million. So $1 million 1 year, the next $1 million, and then the third year. He sniffed them for like the last year. He would always sniff people for the last year, like, oh, they already got their money. They're not going to chase me for the remaining amount. He was known for doing that. So, It holds weight with him. So
like Antonio Brown.
One last thing on that that McMahon thing is I really like Tony Atlas. He seems to be a no nonsense, easygoing, just plain old. This is who I am. This is the story, and I got no bones about it. So very likable Tony Atlas. Tom, you want to add?
One more thing. I know you're a fan of adding more belts and women. So what do you think of the they're adding the U.S. Women's Championship, U.S. Heavyweight Championship? Come on now.
You know, they can't even put on one good women's match. I don't know why they need a mid-card belt for them. it blows my mind. I think I think we missed Brad this week for that one too. So his ears are probably ringing right now at Creed.
Right now he's doing the chorus for Can You Take Me Higher.
Yes. Yeah, and he's probably crowd surfing too. Hopefully he's got something 1973 podcast related on while he's walking around the Creed concert. So yeah, that should be it for wrestling this week. So women's title, mid-card, no. That's a hard no for me there, Shaggy.
Good, I was worried. What's a mid-card?
like the Intercontinental.
I'm like kidding.
Go back and watch a documentary, will you? So, Thomas, let's get into some sports stuff with your shitty picks. Let's go.
All righty. Hold on a minute. Grab my notes here. Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything is brewed in-house, including their hard iced teas, their beers, vodka sodas, and their hard seltzers. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you.
I'm a beer, you fuck.
Now, I picked two games last week. It looks like I'm probably going to go 1-1 because I lost the Ole Miss Georgia game. And right now, I believe Alabama was, last I looked, they were beating LSU. So I'll go 1-1 there.
They're at halftime right now.
What?
They're at halftime right now.
And the score is?
This week here coming up, I'm going to pick, there weren't really a lot of good games, but there were two games with ranked teams, but one really good game. Tennessee is at home against Georgia next week. I'm going with Tennessee. The quarterback for Georgia, Carson Beck, has been a turnover machine. This, especially the last like four games, I think he's thrown 12 interceptions now. I think they've played like nine games, and Tennessee's defense is ball hawking. Going into this game here today, I think Tennessee had 16 turnovers forced. So I think they're going to force enough mistakes by Beck, and they're going to score enough points. They've got a really good offense, good running game. I think they beat Georgia.
All right, so before we get into football picks, the Phantom, we want to talk about Sid the Kid this week.
Yeah. With
the all-time face-off win record.
Pretty impressive. You know, the thing with Sid, more probably about his legacy, is when he came in, I don't know about the rest of you guys, like, I hated him. But I thought he was a baby. I would even argue that I even thought he was a little overrated. I didn't really see it. But, you know, as his career has moved forward, I've found quite a bit of respect for him, how he plays, and he's clutch, does everything right. He's, like I say, he's like a pro's pro. I had him wrong. You know, I think he reminds me a lot of Mark Messier. I when Mark Messier played for the Oilers, I was, you know, whatever. I was like kind of Gretzky's sidekick or whatever. But after Gretzky left, Edmonton continued to stay winning. He moved on and won a cup on a Rangers team. It was a stacked team. But his leadership and all that is, I guess I'm going to have to be a Sid apologist. He's going to be, I think he's already a top 10 player. But I think he's already starting to creep maybe even towards like the top five, which is pretty unbelievable.
Yeah. If you think about it, everybody that's ever been a high profile center in the league, and for him to, you know, be the player with the most faceoff wins in history. And he, you know, just the subtle stat that kind of holds a lot of weight when you kind of do a deep dive into it, all the players he's probably faced off against. And, you know, I agree with you when he came to the league, of course, playing for Pittsburgh and, you know, being a Flyers killer. He's definitely tough to like, but there's been a lot of stories over the last, I want to say 2 or 3 years, that have come out with him interacting on the down low with fans. And, you know, there's a lot of really good stories. So,
I think our guy Ray would have a different story though.
Yeah. I was hoping that Ray was going to be on to tell the, Ray's stories about his interaction with Crosby. So not a bad timing with that, but we'll I'm sure it'll come up again. I'll save for let Ray tell it so I don't ruin it. Yeah, so that's just a little bit of hockey in its infancy this year, so not too much to talk about. So Tom, you want to hit us up with the weekly football picks?
All right. Well, first of all, I'll do the standings. After 9 weeks, Brad is still in first place. He's 96-42. 42. Andy's 94-44. The Phantom is 93-45. Ed is 91-47. I'm 89-49, and Shaggy is 78-37. We all had really good weeks last week. The worst, Ed and Shaggy were 10-5, and that was the worst out of everybody. I went 12-3, and then everybody else went 11-4. So we had a good week that week. So I got to find the picks here. Give me a sec. Right. All righty, here we go. Grab my pen. We're going into week 11. The picks were a week ahead, so we're week 11. I'm going to go with game one, Philadelphia Eagles at home against the Washington Commanders. Andy.
Philly.
All righty. Shaggy.
I'm going Redskins.
All righty. Ed.
This is kind of a pick 'em game. I'm going with Commanders, so they seem like they have a little bit of a better defense than what Philly has.
All righty. Phantom.
I'm going Commanders also.
All righty. I'm going to go with Philly. Washington, Daniels is a little banged up. He's played all right, but I think Philly's going to start coming around a little bit, especially on offense. Defensively, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but the last few Thursday night games there, with this one, the one this past week, they should be really good games. About time. The second game, Chicago Bears at home against the Green Bay Packers. Andy.
I'm still going Packers to the Super Bowl.
Alrighty. Shaggy.
I gotta go Packers too.
Alrighty. Ed.
I'm going with Packers.
Alrighty. Phantom.
Packers.
Yep. I agree. The only thing that'll make this game interesting is if for some reason Love doesn't play and Malik Willis is in at QB. That's the only way they win that game.
Yeah,
next
but the
game,
Bears haven't
Detroit
been,
Lions
the
at
Bears
home
haven't
against
been
the
the same,
Jacksonville.
Though, Thomas.
What's that?
I said the Bears haven't been the same since they were messing with the fans in Washington and they lost the game.
Exactly. And
yeah, haven't been
true.
The same since then.
There's a mutiny right now in the
yep.
locker room from what
yeah.
I hear.
Yep.
All right. Game three, the Detroit Lions at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Andy.
Detroit? Question mark.
All righty. Shaggy.
Question mark. You know how bad Jaguars are? Lions. Yeah, definitely Lions.
All righty. Ed?
I'm going with the Lions.
Go figure.
Phantom?
A Lions exclamation point.
Yes. Very. Could be Mac Jones' second start, but they're still going to lose by double digits. Next game, Tennessee Titans at home against the Minnesota Vikings. Andy.
Vikings.
All righty. Ed?
I'm going to go with the Vikings as well. I mean, you know, that juggernaut of a team of the Titans on how they spanked the Patriots, you know.
Shaggy.
We're going to say Vikings, not without a question mark.
Yeah. Phantom?
Vikings.
Yeah. Clean sweep again. Vikings should blow them out. All right, next game, Miami Dolphins at home against the Las Vegas Raiders. Andy.
Well, you guys keep saying how bad the Raiders are, so I guess I'll take the Dolphins.
All righty, Ed.
I think it's a pick 'em game, but the Dolphins, I think, have a little bit more talent.
All righty, Shaggy.
Like the one time Andy said with confidence, I got a question mark. I'm going to go Miami with a question mark.
All righty, Phantom.
Dolphins.
All righty. Another clean sweep for the podcast on that one. Next game, the New England Patriots at home against the LA Rams. Andy.
Rams?
You could, that's too much of a question mark on that one, you see.
Rams, because I hear how bad the Patriots are, so I'll take the Rams.
Ed?
I'm going to go with the Rams without question.
All righty. Shaggy?
I'm picking a Patriot. Just come going to the fucking game. I'll be miserable.
I just drink. You'll be fine.
Oh, all right. Twist my arm.
Phantom.
I'm calling the Rams big because Shaggy's going to be there.
The streak continues.
That's another Rams victory right there in my eyes.
See, what we're lacking, Tom, is Brad's big diatribe on each game that he hasn't watched.
Give me all home teams. All right, next game, the New Orleans Saints at home against the Cleveland Browns. Andy?
I don't think I picked the Saints this year, so let's go Saints.
All righty, Ed.
Oh, that's a pick'em game for sure. I'm going to go with the Browns.
All righty. Shaggy?
I mean, dude, they're both fucking horrible. I guess I'll go with the Browns.
All righty. Phantom?
Browns.
All righty. I am going with the Browns as well. New Orleans right now is a shit show. They fired their coach. Olave might be done with a concussion.
They just put him on IR tonight.
Did they?
Yep.
Glad I stopped following my fantasy team. Fuck him.
Did you guys hear the guy that used to play with the Saints, Michael Thomas, came out ripping on David Carr?
Yep.
Yeah.
Jeez. He's
not wrong.
No, that's you're not wrong. But I mean, like, you know, it is football. And, you know, I mean, quarterbacks have let their receivers hung out to dry many times. I mean, Brady did it quite a few times to Wes Welker and to Gronk and Edelman. I mean, so they all kind of do it. They try to protect him, but it's not a perfect game, you know?
Not a perfect game, but his pass is a little more than everybody else's, I think, Mr. Carr's.
Well, yeah, there is. But, I mean, just think years ago that hit would have been on, you know, what, you know, 100 greatest hits, and they would have packaged that with Sports Illustrated on a videotape.
God, I miss those videos.
All right, next game, New York Jets at home against the Indianapolis Colts. Andy?
I don't know if I picked the Jets too many times. I'll take them.
All righty. Ed?
Well, I mean, Joe Namath is not walking out that door, and I'm going to go with the Colts.
All righty. Shaggy?
In Flacco, we believe.
All righty.
Are you going to tap, out of the podcast, Shag?
I'm going to go with the...
Because you got hit too hard, you played football too hard.
I'm going to go with the Jets because Aaron Rodgers is better than Joe Namath.
I'm going with the Jets. As much as I hate Rodgers, their schedule lines up where they could actually win the rest of their games this year. So I'm hoping not. But next game, another finally got to a good game. Pittsburgh Steelers at home against the Baltimore Ravens. Andy?
Ravens?
All righty. Ed?
Oh, that's a pickup game in a good way. Both great teams. I'm going to go with the Steelers.
All righty. Shaggy?
I'm going Steelers too.
All righty. Phantom?
Ravens.
All right. I'm going with the Ravens. Freaking Harbaugh has just got to smarten up and let either Derrick Henry feed that guy the ball 30 times. I mean, you could have a 2,000-yard season if they actually give him the ball more than 15 times a game. All right, next game, Denver Broncos at home against the Atlanta Falcons. Andy?
Take the Falcons.
All righty. Ed?
I'm going with the Falcons.
All righty. Shaggy?
I'm going Falcons, but I think it's going to be a low-scoring game.
All righty. Phantom?
We'll go with the Broncos.
I'm going with the Broncos as well. I think their defense... I think they'll shut down. Well, Drake London actually might not play this week, so I'm going to go with the thing that says he may not play next week either. And I think Atlanta's going to be a little bit hindered on offense. I think Denver's defense underrated. All right, next game should be a decent game. San Francisco 49ers at home against the Seattle Seahawks. Andy?
I will take every member of the Village People's favorite football team.
All righty. Ed?
49ers, please.
All righty. Shaggy.
I think we're going to go Seahawks. Is Metcalf back yet?
No, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he's playing tomorrow, but he's been out a couple games.
Yeah, I'll go Seattle anyway. I have a feeling.
All righty, Phantom.
I'm not going with Seattle.
All righty. 49 is finally getting healthy. They're getting McCaffrey back for tomorrow's game. The Debo Samuel, I think they're going to go on a little bit of a run here. I'm going with San Francisco. Next game could be probably the game of the week. Buffalo Bills at home against the Kansas City Chiefs. Andy.
I'm going to go with the team that I've picked every single week since this thing started, the Chiefs.
All righty. Ed?
I'm going with the Chiefs, but you know what? Maybe if the NFL would actually call a false start on that right tackle every time that he moves before the snap actually happens, the games would turn out different, because just in all the games that I've seen so far this year, that dude could have been flagged at least 15 times.
DraftKings.
Jaggy?
I'm going Bills, just going to hate the Chiefs.
All righty. Phantom?
I didn't pick him because I love him.
Whatever. I'm in last place. What do I care?
Oh, there you go. Guess okay,
I'll take KC.
All righty. I'm going with Buffalo. Goes against everything. But I think Buffalo, they're going to sit a couple of their receivers, I think, for tomorrow's game, and they'll be back. Mahomes, I don't know with his ankle. I don't know if he's going to be playing hurt or not. He's either faking or he's tough, and he came running out of the thing the other day like he without Walt Frazier with the Knicks that time, coming out of the locker room, for God's sake.
Hey, Tardall is a wonderful thing, you know.
He looked like LeBron with a cramp.
All right, the Sunday night game, the Los Angeles Chargers at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. Andy.
Chargers.
All righty. Ed?
Who's got it better than we do? I'd have to go with the Bengals.
All righty. Shaggy.
I believe in Jim Harbaugh.
All righty. Phantom?
I'm going to go Bengals.
Of course you will.
Burrow is having an unbelievable season. I mean, if their defense was halfway decent, they'd have a lot better team right now, but a lot better record. I feel bad for him. But I'm going to take Cincinnati on this one. I think he's going to score just enough points. I'm not totally sold on the Chargers running game. Dobbins, as somebody that has him in fantasy, I mean, guys, for like the last 6 weeks, he does score a touchdown, but he's like 40 yards a game. So I'm going to go with Cincinnati on that one. Chase Brown, he's another guy I have in fantasy, and he's been doing well. He's underrated. Monday night game.
21-6, by the way, LSU, Alabama. Alabama 21.
Nice. Dallas Cowboys at home against the Houston Texans. Andy.
Give me the Texans.
All righty. Ed.
Anybody that has half of a brand is going to pick the Texans.
Shaggy?
Never give me the Cowboys.
All righty. Phantom.
Give me the best team in Texas, Houston Texans.
Now, you know what we're missing is every time we do this, watch after I say it. When you get to Brad, he does the Sandman. Yo. He just starts everything with that monotone, yo, and then I gotta tell you, and then boom, goes right to it. So it missed when it comes to this stuff, I will say.
I'm going to go with Houston in that game. I have no faith in Cooper Rush. They're all done for the year, especially, I mean, I gotta give Prescott credit. He played a little bit of that game with partially torn off the muscle, I guess. So, I mean, he's gonna be out a while. That's a lot of money to be sitting on the sidelines, but.
I mean, he came right out and said when he was standing on the sideline, boy, we suck.
Yes, he did.
Yep. All right, AC, that's the last game.
All right. I think it's going to be one of our shortest episodes in a while, but a lot in a little bit of time. So time for some shout outs. I'll start this week kind of on a somber one. Friend of Ryan and I, and maybe Tom might know him, just found out that his wife is diagnosed with breast cancer stage 4. So we're kind of pulling for him. Great guy, great guy. When I found out it totally took me aside, and I don't want to mention on the air, but we're thinking of him. We're thinking of the whole family. Ed, you got anything?
No, I got nothing.
Shaggy?
Yeah, I'm the same, but I got nothing.
Thomas, you got something?
Well, it's Veterans Day week here. I want to give a shout out to Brad. I know Brad's a veteran, and all the other veterans out there. Thanks for your service, guys.
We're going to finish up the shout outs with the Phantom.
I'm going to shout out my boy, Jeremy Roenick. Going into the Hall of Fame this weekend, long overdue. they've been holding him down for a long time, so be good to see. Well deserved.
Yeah, every time his name comes up, there's probably five or six guys that are snubbed for some reason that they'll never know about. So you know, as the years go on and other guys come to the fold, those guys kind of get pushed back more. So you'd like to, like we say all the time, you want to see somebody get in while they're still kicking rather than after the fact, because it's kind of, you know, it doesn't mean as much. So, Thomas, for everybody on the podcast, and everybody, we'll see you next week. Later.
See ya.